drive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, presented by Bet the Farm Podcast. I am Dino the Pig, joined by my brother, the other side of the Plotnik family, Jared Plotnik here, coming off of a 3M Open that was, let's just say, an interesting ending, but no ponies in the race necessarily on our end, at least come the back nine when Scott Piercy with the choke of the century. I could not believe that. I think he went like bogey, birdie, like what is it, triple or quad or something like that. Then birdie, I don't know. It was all over the place, but Tony Finau instead shoots 4 under on the back, walks away with another win at the end of a season. You'd love to see it for old Tony Finau. Yeah. And that being said, I mean, any thoughts on 3M, or I'd say on to the next.
I mean, as usual, though, I'll disagree with you. I mean, I think I did have a pony in the race. Yeah, Tom Hoagie was very much alive, headed to the back, just couldn't.
Well, that's what I said. I said come the back nine, but yeah.
Yeah, he was alive until the 15th hole. I mean, the guy was 3 shots back. He was 2 shots back to Finau, and then he just decided on a drivable par four to hit it in a bunker, plug, and bogey, and then it was officially over. That was like 16th hole. I mean, on that course, anything happens. He doesn't do that. Come 18, when Finau hits in the water, and he should have hit in the water on 17 too. I mean, it's golf. Anything can happen, especially with a head case like Finau. So, but again, wasn't meant to be. Him and Gim, both in the top five, headed to Sunday. But I mean, in these tournaments, with those kind of long shots, that's really all you're asking for.
The infamous Hoagie Bogey at the 3M Open. Keep that on the back burner. All right, let's move forward to the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We're headed to Detroit at Detroit Golf Club. Got a 7,300 par 72. The greens are mixed between bank grass and poa, and this is a Donald Ross design, which I'm sure I'll have a few notes about as we break this down. Donald Ross designs. I mean, we're kind of in Donald Ross territory. We got this. We got Wyndham next week. His architecture is very similar in all the different courses, so I'll definitely be drawing off of guys that play pretty well on Donald Ross designs, but I don't know. I think we're going to see a birdie fest this week. I mean, we've only seen the iteration of the Rocket Mortgage Classic, especially at Detroit Golf Club, 3 times over the last 3 years. And your reigning champion, Cam Davis, shoots minus 18, wins in a playoff. Bryson DeChambeau, minus 23 the year before, and Nate Lashley, minus 25. So certainly some low scores out there. I think that we're going to have to target guys that could score. The field is it's certainly not good. I mean, we get the playoffs coming up in 2 weeks. I think guys are saving up. Wyndham will probably be pretty ugly next week as well. But a few guys at the top that, you know, make this a little bit more interesting in terms of having somewhat of a decent field. But then outside of that, it gets a little poor in terms of strength of field. But I think that at the end of the day, we're just going to have to find guys that can score.
Yeah, absolutely. One of those weeks where you're going to need to have a hot putter. So it's not always a prereq nowadays on tour, but this week it most certainly is. A lot of wedges in people's hands. You can be a little erratic with the driver and get away with it, unlike last week where you saw a lot of big numbers with all the water. So a little bit different, but a fun tournament, one that I like.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the course. I know it's a Donald Ross design, and how you plan to attack this type of card. As I mentioned, you really only got, I think, 4 guys that are in like the top 25 of the official world golf ranking. So I don't know. Might have to go a little deep this week.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just touched on what I'm looking at the course in a nutshell, but when it comes to strategy for me, it's going to be a little bit more of the same of last week, even though it's a different course, but variables remain the same. So I'm looking at more of it again, like a heavier card with more of long shots. What are variables last week? The variables were a lot of water. You have a couple of bad shots around the water, like Hideki did on 18 on Thursday. And guess what? You're out of the tournament just like that. So this week you can say the same thing, but when it comes to a putter this week, you can have a guy hitting every green, but if they're missing every 10 footer, you're going to have no shot because everyone's going to be hitting every green. You're going to have to get a hot putter here. And that leads to variability in my eyes when I handicap golf. So that's really what I'm looking for. I'm going to be just grabbing a let's just say a portfolio of a lot of good putters and guys that are good with their wedges, or guys that really want to bomb it towards the front of the green. So that's kind of in a nutshell what I'm looking at.
Certainly not a lot of defenses to this course whatsoever. Very little undulation on the course. It's one of the flattest tracks that they're going to play all year. So what makes it interesting to me, it's 7,300 yards, and it kind of can push 7,400, but it's really not even that long. And because there's no defense with the rough and the fairways are wide, bombers should certainly have an advantage this week. I think that I'm definitely going to be looking for guys that can bomb the ball along with putters, but guys that are really good at putting. The greens are really easy to hit. I mean, you're looking at a 72% GIR rate, which is 7% higher than the PGA Tour average. There's four par fours between 350 and 400 yards. So some really short ones, potentially drivable. Four par fours that are 450 to 500. So I still think that that's going to lead to some shorter irons, considering guys are going to be taking out their drivers. And then you got three par fives that are playing 550 to 600. So I think guys are going to be going for a lot of these greens for sure. Two of the par threes played less than 175 yards. At the end of the day, just looking at the scorecard, I see a lot of short irons and wedges, just like you talked about it. That makes it a little bit interesting. We're getting to that time of the year on the schedule where we went a long stretch of golf at this, you know, the beginning to second half of the season, where we were looking for guys that were good with their long irons because of the proximity from, let's just say, 175 plus, certainly a lot of 200 plus yard approaches. I don't think that we're going to see that this week. So I think it's going to turn into a putting fest. Definitely want guys coming in riding good putting form, and maybe guys that are just notoriously good at putters over their career. So I'll be targeting mainly the key metrics. I'm looking at driving distance, opportunities gained, and birdie or betters gained, basically guys that can score. And I definitely want guys that can attack the par fives. We've seen over the last three iterations of this event, the guys that attack the par fives and can score, especially get some eagles on the board, are going to give themselves the best chance to win. All right. I don't think that too much dissection of this course needs to be had. So let's just jump right into the board nice and early. We start with your outright favorite, Patrick Cantlay, sitting around 10 to 1, 8 to 1, depending where you look. Tony Finau coming off a win around 14 to 1. Will Zalatoris coming back after another decent major outing at the Open, and he's going to be around 14 to 1. And then Cameron Young, who finishes runner-up at the Open, making his first start since the Open Championship. He's around 18 to 20 to 1. Yeah, let's talk about that 10 to 20 range. I mean, there's only four guys. I mentioned that there's really only four or five guys that are in the top portion of the official world golf ranking, so it does become a little top-heavy. Did you bite the bullet on anyone here? Because, I don't know, Cameron Young certainly caught my eye. Honestly, I was going to bet Cameron Young, and then I found out that he was Andrew Kirst this week. And once I found that out, I've figured out the hard way over the course of the year that I can't do it. So for anybody that doesn't know what that means, but if you listen to the Pat Mayo Experience, one of his friends, Tim Andrew Kust, anytime he picks a guy to win, they are automatically cursed and they are not going to win that event. I don't think he's hit a winner, and he has picks every single week since 2019, I think you mentioned. So yeah, I couldn't do it there, and I'm not getting to 14 to 1 on Zalatoris, even though I do like the nut. I mean, I like him this week, even though a lot of guys aren't on him. I just think 14 to 1, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, if I get got here again, I'm not taking a Cam Young sub 20 to 1. Just, I mean, the guy's a beast just in a field like this where with the variabilities that I am looking for, I am not biting the bullet there. I mean, I think this is a great course fit for Cantlay, but I'm just not taking him 10 to 1. And again, a field like this, I mean, the guy's putter has just been absolutely amazing. So I could easily see Cantlay coming out blitzing the field here. But again, I'm just not biting the bullet in this range.
Yeah, once we get past that 18 to 1 to Cam Young, you get to the Max Homa around 22-ish. And he's like the only one in the 20s, which is kind of crazy. You don't see that often. That just shows how top heavy it is. And since I didn't bite the bullet on Cam Young, even though I wanted to, and I'm looking at the numbers, I don't know. I'm having a hard time not taking Max Homa. And for that reason, I am taking Max Homa as the first play on my card. There's nothing not to like about him. The guy's having a freaking unbelievable year. Had a 16th at the Genesis, just in recent form, top five at the Memorial, top 25 Charles Schwab, finishes top 15 PGA, and then wins the Wells Fargo. I mean, that's just going back from May till now. Aside from that, he's already won two times on tour this year, wins the Fortinet as the first event in the wraparound season, wins the Wells Fargo. The guy's just been absolutely unbelievable, specifically off the tee. He's gained off the tee in eight straight events. He hasn't lost on approach since the Farmers back in January. He hasn't lost putting on, at least in weighted events, since the, I mean, I can go back to the Players and even finish top 15 there. Everything to me screams Max Homa. I definitely put a lot into driving distance this week. The guy is 50, and although I wouldn't assume it looking at him and seeing him golf, wouldn't think that he hits the ball that far, but 53rd in driving distance on the year this year. And on top of that, a red hot putter in the last 24 rounds in this field. He ranks eighth in strokes gained putting. He dominates the par fives. I actually saw an interesting stat about the par fives with him, because I mentioned earlier about the course that I think that par five scoring is going to be massive. Guys are going to be going for it because they're going to be able to take drivers out and have, you know, they're going to have a good chance to get there in two. I looked up this stat that I scrolled upon the stat. There's a stat on the PGA Tour, par five going for the green hit percentage. So how many times do you hit the green when you try to go for it in two? And he ranks ninth on tour this year and par five going for the green hit percentage. I think that that's going to lead to some low scores for him. And what's not to like? I mean, he played here last year, top 25 finish. He knows the course. I mean, every number stands out. And I think that getting him at 20, I got him at 22-1 odds. That's a pretty solid number for a 22-1 odds when he's the fifth guy on the board. So yeah, I like Max Homa this week a lot. And even though I like Cam Young, I think that he fits the mold when I can take a guy. I knew I could take a guy at the top because I've got a lot more long shots throughout the board.
Yeah, can't blame you. Max Homa profile as well. Had a scorching hot putter recently. Should be, in theory, a course that fits him well. He's made a couple cuts here. Nothing special, but
these are bent POA greens, but this guy from the West Coast loves POA too. So, I mean, I try not to factor that in too much just because they're mixed greens, but something else, something he's familiar with at least. So yeah, I like that, but sounds like you could not bite the bullet there. So man, gets a little, now we get a little interesting in this 30 to let's just call a 50 range. I'm not even going to list the names. It's all a bunch of guys that I would consider pretty mediocre players on tour. I mean, what stood out to you here?
Yeah, I mean, I almost bit, like Monday morning I looked and I saw Davis Riley at 40. I almost hit it, but I backed off and he since moved down. I'm seeing like 30 now. Maybe this is a week where, shocker, but like a week for me where I literally only have one bet in right now officially. I'm really waiting until tomorrow to see some drift that I think I'm going to get on a couple guys that I like that I'll get into in a second. But if Davis drops probably to 35-ish, I may bite the bullet there and go with him. Who I really like, I'm waiting to get a 40 on him though. And I'm going back to the well with the sexiest man on tour. Adam Scott will probably be on my card. This exact kind of course where I love Scott, which is crazy to say because I'm old enough to remember 5 years ago when he was a completely different player. But now Adam Scott gets red hot with the putter. He used to be an impeccable driver of the ball. Now he's still long off the tee, but he's very erratic, something I don't care about at this course. You have a lot of room for error off the tee here. And he can dial in his wedges. So, I mean, the guy just at the Memorial now it's a couple months ago, but it feels like yesterday, gained 8 on approach. So I really like Adam Scott. I think he's going to drift tomorrow to 40 at a shop.
Why is he even playing? Honestly, he's not even in contention in the FedEx Cup. Like, I honestly am wondering like why. Maybe is he trying to get into form for the President's Cup? I don't know.
I mean, of course, that fits him well. He probably wants to win on the PGA Tour one last time before he goes to live. So, I don't know. But he, is playing. I mean, he is like in this, I think he's in like the 70s when it comes to the FedEx Cup. So he's still alive. Technically, I don't know why you said he's not, but
well, to win it. I mean for money, sure. But yeah, to win it, there, Scheffler and Smith are so far ahead of everybody. It's going to be impossible for anybody.
Well, I'm sure whoever finishes seventh or eighth is going to be pretty happy themselves getting a nice seven figure payday. But regardless, when it comes to this course, I just think he profiles well, and I think I'll get a nice number on him come tomorrow. So,
yeah, I wanted to mention to you, luckily for a lot of our fans out there that tune in every week, you guys can, most of you don't live in Florida, can line shop. Unfortunately, we don't have as much flexibility on that being here with, but I wanted to tell you a book that I use that I don't think you use. I got a Davis Riley at 39-1. I know you said you were hoping for a 35, but I'm looking at a 39 right now. So
yeah, there's options. Definitely pull the trigger. It depends, because I'll have a couple more guys in this range that I'm looking at, but depending on what I do there, Davis Riley is definitely on my eyes. I love a guy like him who barely missed the cut last week when he's really popular, and then he's with odds. And
I know good and well about that after my Cam Smith debacle, so I feel you. Because I was thinking the same thing about a few different guys, two guys that were really popular last week, and I have one on my card that I'll get to way down the board that everybody was all over, and then now he drops a ton, even though the field isn't even that much better. So, yeah, I feel you on that completely. But, okay, yeah, nobody in that third in that range just – I mean, I want to go to Maverick McNealy, but at that number, he's just not showing me anything. And Kisner, it's a course thing, I guess. And going into this part of the season, he crushes Donald Ross designs, but 35, the guy has shown absolutely no life. That number just seems a little crazy to me. I know a lot of people are on Denny McCarthy just because he's had a bunch of top tens in the last 4 weeks, but and mainly because he's a great putter. I can't get to him at that 35-40 range. So yeah, Davis Riley, definitely my favorite in that range. Well,
and if also with Scott, if I don't see a 40 tomorrow, since it's a birdie fest, he goes off in the afternoon. I'm sure I could probably catch a 45, 50 on him before he even tees off.
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon. So that's what I'll probably wait for.
Yeah. I didn't talk about win this week because I usually use this one app that I could get a really good, you know, they have like a tower that I can get a really good read off of. This one's in Detroit. And it's in a suburb of Detroit, and I wasn't able to find the exact location of the course. And I mean, Detroit's a really big town in essence. There's obviously this is in the suburbs, and I just couldn't get a good read off of it. But I didn't see from everything I read much of an AM, PM fluctuation. I think guys are going to score all day. So that'll be interesting to think about. Okay. Well, we'll keep going down the board. In this 40-50 range, I do have a play here. I've taken him a few times over the last few weeks, and I think that he's coming into a part of the schedule that is going to suit him very well, especially with Donald Ross design courses this week and next week at the Wyndham. His son is named Wyndham because he loves that course so much. And I know you know where I'm going. I'm going back to Webb Simpson at 45-1 odds. I just talked about the Donald Ross thing. This guy loves shorter courses because he's not that long off the tee. And I think that the courses that are shorter and could turn into birdie fest really bode well for him. He's seventh in the field on Donald Ross designs in the last 24 rounds for all the guys that have played Donald Ross courses. He's starting to figure the irons out, which excites me. He had been on a really bad streak for a while, but he's gained on approach in 5 of his last 6 events. He's gained on putting in 3 of his last 4 events as well. Had a top 10 finish here back in 2020. Webb Simpson rates out really well this week, and you're getting a really good number, I think, for how good he is at 45-1. I'm really hard pressed as to why anybody couldn't pull the trigger. He's really good on short par 4s. He's also good on par 5s. The only thing that I could say that I don't love is his driving distance, but I don't really. We've seen guys that also aren't that long off the tee compete here, especially win here. I mean, I talked about the previous winners, Nate Lashley, and yeah, I guess just him because Cam Davis hits it pretty far, and obviously Bryson as well. But Nate Lashley shot minus 25 a few years ago. So yeah, I don't know. I'm on Webb here. I think he's a good play.
Yeah, can't doubt it. Definitely higher tier player than a lot of the guys in front of him, just not necessarily in better form. So certainly can't fault you there. Another guy who I have my eyes on, and again, just like Riley Davis, And it was last week, very popular player.
Sahith Tigala.
Yes, you got it. Very volatile player, which is what I like. When he's going to be 20-1 in fields, you'll never see me on him. When he drops down to the 40-50 range, now that he's established himself as a volatile but high upside player, now I got my interest in him. I mean, he has been playing a lot of golf, but nothing new for him. So 2 days off on the weekend that he got last week is like a vacation for a month for Mr. Tigala. So
Sungjae Jr.
Yeah, nice and refreshed now. I'm seeing a 40 on him. I may even just bite on that, honestly. I think I'm going to start, as of right now, leaning to start my card with Tigala and Scott and maybe even Riley if he drops down in that 40 to range. that's where I'm looking at. But another guy in this range now that I took, I mean, you can line shop and depends where you can get him. But the one bet I took on Monday morning at 66-1. Now the best I'm seeing is 50, but 66-1. Yeah, that was a subtle way of me saying I'm a sharp. So one guy I bet early, line moves down. Yeah. But that is going back to my 3M champ from a year ago, Cameron the Champ. What do I love to see with Cameron Champ? The last time I think I bet him was at the 3M last year. You like to see some lead in form with Cam Champ. He tends to just peak. What did he do last week? He makes a 20 footer on Friday to make the cut on the number and then finishes 16th, gains 3.5 strokes putting, gains only 2 off the tee, which is normally his strength. And you bring him to a field like this where he can just unleash his driver nonstop. Doesn't matter where he hits it because you don't have a big penalty for going left or right. And he gained 2.5 on approach. When you're seeing, I mean, he's gained now on approach. And I mean, albeit 3 of them were less than a stroke, but a gain is a gain. And he has gained in 5 of his last 7 events with his on approach, which for Cam Champ, good feat. Nice. I like to see him positive with the putter. Just be neutral around the greens like he was last week. And he gets a top 16 finish, even or a 16th finish, even when he finishes, he makes the cut right on the number. So I'm really bullish on Cam Champ this week at that number. I was hoping that it was going to hover there, maybe drop a little better. I was hoping for like an 80, but apparently I wasn't the only one that liked the numbers from Cam Champ last week because he got hit down. I'm seeing a 45 at the main book I use. But
I got a 58.
Oh, so yeah, there you go. I mean, I just think he goes off in the morning, so I can't wait and get a better number on him in the afternoon. But luckily, I locked him in already, and I really like him this week.
Tom Kim is interesting. Another guy that fits that mold of everybody was on him last week. Got pounded all the way down to like 35. Seen a 54 on him. I mean, I wouldn't take it outright. Certainly would like exposure to him, but that's another guy I think that fits the mold. Same with Mark Hubbard, who's coming on a really hot streak right now, had a really good last few events, but withdrew before the event last week. Not really sure why. I don't think it was injury, but I'm honestly not sure. Can't speak on it.
He played 4 weeks in a row. He just wanted a break.
I thought so, especially if he can gain some points and make it.
Oh, he's already up into like the 80s. So he's already
right. Well, that also came out today that they're not giving the LIV players official world golf ranking points. So that means that all those guys that had those spots have been eliminated. A bunch of guys got moved up.
Ricky Fowler rejoices.
Yeah, he got moved up into to potentially making it to the FedEx St. Jude, which is the first event of the playoffs. All right, well, let's keep going down the board, see what we like. All right, I see as we get to this range, the first guy that I was drawn to, and he's a multiple-time winner on the PGA Tour, and the guy bombs the ball, and that is Johnny Vegas, baby. And I pulled the trigger on him at 75-1 odds, 11th in driving distance on the season. The guy's going to put the ball out there. When you have a chance to take the driver out on every single hole, pretty much, I'm going to certainly keep my eyes on Johnny Vegas. If it wasn't for the putter over the last few months, he'd be putting together some really solid finishes. But his, and along with that, because around the green play mattered for a bunch of the tournaments a few months ago, but it hasn't obviously over the last few weeks. If it wasn't for the around the game or around the green game and the putter, he'd be really killing it. His approach play has been super solid. He has played notoriously better on easier courses. So when scores get lower to par, Johnny Vegas tends to be towards the top of the leaderboard, crushes the par fives, luckily due to that distance off the tee. and due to his long irons and woods that he's able to approach these greens in two. So I think he's going to be able to bomb and gouge here without any penalties out there on the course. And I think he's going to be able to score, and that's going to give himself a chance to be there on the weekend. And 75-1, I think that it's a long shot, but due to his recent form, but I think that his caliber of player, guy who's played on multiple President's Cup teams and who has won on the PGA Tour multiple times, I think Johnny Vegas is a nice value here.
Johnny Vegas, yeah, like it.
Johnny Vegas, baby.
Speaking of bombers, I'm going at 66-1 with Bryson Light. We're going to Taylor Pendrith. Bryson Light.
What the fuck is that?
Bryson DeChambeau, you know who that is?
Yeah, Bryson Light.
Yeah, because he hits the ball almost just as far as Bryson DeChambeau.
I've never heard that one before.
He's a monster off the tee. Just nonstop gainer.
He's Canadian, just like my boy Johnny Vegas has won in Canada multiple times. Titty shake.
I mean, there's a reason why he probably missed 4 months with a rib injury, because the guy is just unloading on the ball. And came back in two off-field events, Barbasol, Barracuda, I think it was 13th and 12th finishes back-to-back, gaining 5.5 strokes off the tee at the Barbasol. So I think his ribs are feeling good. And he's a guy historically who's just Jekyll and Hyde with the putter. And that's what I want. Either gain a lot or just lose a lot. I mean, I'm looking for a winner here. I'm not looking for a T15, okay? So, it just gains 5, loses 3, gains 5, loses 6. This is what he does. Hey, let's gain 5 today. And I mean, as Bryson showed a couple of years ago here, you can drive a lot of par 4 greens. Do that, just lag putt, get your easy birdies and destroy the par fives. And at a 66-1, I think Taylor Pendrith is a good fit for this course, and I'm gonna take a piece of him.
Give me a piece of that, Kit Kat Pendrith.
Another guy I've actually just officially locked in as you were giving a handicap at 75-1. A guy that I never
Johnny take. Vegas. Let's go. He's tailing me.
One of your man crushes. And
Can I guess?
Yeah, you can.
Man crush.
I mean, you've probably taken him I'd say at least 3 times this year.
Oh, gosh.
It's a random player that I don't think I've ever taken. But
Troy Merritt.
We're going to Troy Merritt. Speaking of a guy that can get scorching hot with a putter.
That guy,
hey, Brandon, I just went through his history while you're giving the intro. His putting history. He lost 5.5 strokes putting last week. He's been on the PGA Tour for 12 straight years. Guess how, where that ranks on his worst putting performances ever.
Let me just guess. He's never lost worse than 3 or something.
That is easily his worst that he's ever lost putting. He gained his previous 8 tournaments on the PGA Tour before last week. He still finished 49th last week. Why do
you didn't even tell me where he ranked. You're like, guess where that ranks in his career.
I just said easily the worst of his career.
Wow, well, that didn't tell me where it ranks.
It ranks number 1, the worst of his career. That's where it ranks. So worst putting performance of his career, number 1. So, and the 7 tournaments before that, gained in all of them. Last week, even though it was his worst putting performance, a guy that never really competes, still finished 49th. Why? I think this was the best ball striking performance of his career. I didn't look that one up, so I can't tell you. Gained 5.5 strokes off the tee, gained 3 on approach, a guy that lost 7 in a row before that, or 6 in a row before that on approach. Very, very weird, but I love to see the ball striking there with a guy who is notoriously a really, really good putter, and he just can get streaky with the putter. That's why you always see him pop on random leaderboards and contend down the stretch. I think earlier this year you had him in one tournament where he was there at the end. It may have been Pebble Beach or Valero, but where he finished 4th and 4th respectively. So the guy has high upside potential coming off the best ball striking round easily of this year and probably of his career. And just happened to mix that with his worst putting performance. So give me Troy Merritt at 75-1. Hopefully that putter gets going and he keeps the ball striking going, and got a nice long shot pony.
We all want long shot ponies. That's why I've got a few more for everybody out there. I mean, I'm in this 75-100 range. Those are my long shots this week. I think 100 plus, not too much intrigued me, but let's go to 85-1. And I've got my Canadian crush this week. Let's call him, what can I call him? Let's call him Patrick Light. Like Patrick Reed Light. That's the only thing I can think of. And I'm going to Mac Hughes, Mackenzie Hughes at 85-1 odds. And I call him Patrick Reed. That's the first guy that came to mind, mainly because guy is just unbelievable scrambling and putting, and everything else usually is second nature. He can get really hot in random tournaments, but he's very inconsistent. But he is coming in some decent form this week. He's got some really nice course history here as well, which I really like. Two starts here, had a T21 and a T14. Another guy I love this week that dominates the Donald Ross Designs.
All right.
It's Donald Ross. I don't know. I went with Ronald. Put them together. Kind of made me laugh. I don't know. I'm still rattled about calling him Patrick Lay. That's just the first thing that came to my mind. So, yeah, dominates the Ronald McDonald Designs at in his last 24 rounds. He's 11th in the field. And like I mentioned, very streaky with the short game and putter, but I wouldn't say the putter, very streaky with just his short game, and he can get up and down from anywhere or hole out from anywhere. Guy's a hole out machine, but 9th on the PGA Tour in putting this year. He's gained strokes putting in 5 of his last 6 events. I'm really fiending for guys this week that are coming in really, really hot. The guy can absolutely score. He is 33rd in the field in birdie or better percentage gained. And I just think that he is a nice value at 85-1 this week. He's had some really good finishes recently. It's just if that putter can just cooperate. And I know that it's been up and down over the last month and a half, but he notoriously has been phenomenal all year. If we're going to call this a birdie fest and a putting fest, potentially, give me Mac Hughes at 85-1.
All right, Patrick Light at 85-1.
It's Patrick Light. Oh, my God. I don't even want that to be his nickname, but it's all good. I got another guy right here, actually, I really like. And you said that you were taking one of my man crushes. Well, guess what? I'm taking one of yours. And this is the guy I talked about earlier in the show where I really wanted to invest in someone that I could buy low on after they have been really hot in the market over the last few months. And finally, I'm getting a discount. I wouldn't say months, last few weeks, but give me Gotterup at 90-1. Your boy Gotterup. I think that he fits this course perfectly. The guy absolutely crushes the ball off the tee, 7th in driving distance over the last 50 rounds. I wish I could see what he would be on the PGA Tour on the season, but he hasn't played enough PGA Tour events to qualify for season long stats. But he ranks phenomenally generally just in scoring opportunities. So he's 9th in the field in opportunities gained and 19th on the par fives. The irons are locked in. He's gained on approach in 4 of his last 5 events. This guy is going to win on the PGA Tour. And I think this is a shitty enough field to be able to get it done. What's his first name? I don't even know, honestly.
Chris
Gotterup.
Oh. Can't be a week in the PGA Tour unless we throw money away by betting the same guy because they never win. So,
God, I got Mito Pereira cursed again with Gotterup this week. Fuck.
Yeah, if you don't take him, then the guy is leading on a major going to the back 9. So noted for Chris Gotterup's first major layoff.
The back 9, 18th on a Sunday.
Yeah. So, but Gotterup, I mean, he bombs the ball off the tee, but though his one bad problem, he can get erratic with it. Guess what? Doesn't matter here. That's what he did last week, hit in the water a few times, still made the cut and finished a respectable 31st, and still gained off the tee because he's so good off the tee. So he gained 4.7 on approach last week, but just an ugly negative 3 with the short stick, the flat stick, the fat stick, the Fatrick Jr. stick,
and whatever you want to call it.
At Barbasol, he gained 2.5. John Deere, even coming 4th, lost 1.5. Travelers gained 3. Point is, I want a player here who is great at driving the ball deep, can get good with his wedges, and is erratic with the putter, and hopefully we get the good putting week. So I think I'm getting Gotterup, which is, I think he's a pretty much a Cam Champ light. That's just probably maybe even a little better on approach, and we're getting him at a better number. I'll gladly invest.
This guy's better than Cam Champ. Okay. This guy's not missing 7 cuts in a row. Yeah.
Talk to me when he has 3 PGA Tour wins.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess that's the defining factor on what makes you good on the PGA Tour, but week in and week out, he ain't going to be no Cam Champ. But hey, you get him the weeks that he pops. That's all we care about. It's not like I really care what he does week in, week out, as long as I'm betting on him that week. It's all I care about. All right, I've got one more play. And I'm going at 95-1 with Neil Patrick Rogers, as my brother likes to call him. This guy is red hot right now. Really excited about him. The putter has been phenomenal. I really think that that's going to be a contributing factor to him being atop the board. Number two in strokes gained putting over the last 24 rounds in the field. Another bomber that I think is going to be able to bomb and gouge 33rd in driving distance on the PGA Tour this year. He scores, which it's really the main things I'm factoring. Can they bomb the ball? Can they putt? Are they just generally good at scoring, or at least giving them opportunities to score? Crushes the par fives. He actually leads the tour on the entire PGA Tour in eagles this year with 19 eagles. Go for those greens in two, Mr. Neil Patrick Rogers, and let's go ka-ka, ka-ka. I don't know. What sound does an eagle make?
Oh, my God. I couldn't even. You progressively got worse there.
Well, I went ka-ka, but that's like, you know, that's the birdie sound.
Yes, it is. You're correct. Oh, my goodness. All right, just quit while you're not even ahead. But yeah, I like actually Rogers as well. I'm seeing a 110 on him. I may pull the trigger on that. For these are always the kind of tracks I like in big fairways that you rely on that short game. Luckily for the whole field, Cam Smith's not playing this week because he'd shoot 45 under. Because these are the kind of tracks that he dominates, and similar players to him like Patrick Rogers, who's lengthy, but
a Patrick little Rogers is similar to Cam Smith.
You just don't listen when people talk, so I'm not repeating myself. But moving on, for similar reasons, that's why I like Wyndham Clark, a guy that drives the ball really far but can be a little erratic with his accuracy and can get a hot putter. Again, I'm just listening to a lot of guys I like here that I haven't
really. Wyndham just can figure out how to play four good days in a row. He's going to win, but he's just not been able to figure that out in his career.
Yeah, hard to ignore Callum Tarran, who gained almost 10 strokes ball striking last week, gained 2.5 with a putter, finished seventh. You know, he did pretty much the same thing with John Deere, gaining 4.5 putting. You like to see that. His game's in great shape right now. Hard to not have an eye on him near triple digits. And then, again, Buckley, we're going to talk about buy low guys that everyone was in love with last week. I got a hefty eye on Adam Svensson, whose putter has been the best of his career over the last 2 months. Where even though last week he missed the cut because he had the ball in the water 18 times, but he gained 3.5 strokes putting in two rounds at the 3M. That makes 9 straight events that he has gained with the putter, which is absolutely crazy to say about Adam Svensson, but it's a truth. And now when everyone took him last week at 40-1, what kind of idiot would do that? Now this week you're getting a nice 90-1 where you can get a hot putter. And if he gets hot with the ball striking, I think he could contend. So eyes on all those guys in this range to finish it out for me.
Hayden Buckley, I took him last week, but he's sitting at 170 right now. Certainly love that one. Who else in this late wave or late hundreds intrigues me? Yeah, I'm a big Matthias Schwab fan, but I think I'll not as an outright nice exposure. James Hahn trending guy. When he's hot, he stays hot. Your boy, Michael Gligich, he's 130. He had, I think, a top 20. Or it may have been better than that. He may have had a top 10 last week.
Yeah, well, man, I'm most likely to be on, like you just said, is James Hahn. Guys gained 6.5 on approach last week, 5.5 with the putter. And like you said, when he trends, I love the golfers when they trend. They trend well because those are the easy ones to bet on. And I got 175-1 on him. I don't know how I'm not pulling the trigger on that one. And then also Michael Gligich is 200-1. And I mean, the guy had a phenomenal week again last week. I mean, in the prop section, I even said, I don't even take him, but if I like anyone, I like Gligich top 20 at like 5-1. And guess what? He had a 16th place finish, gained 3.5 off the tee, 2.5 putting. Guy's been putting the lights out recently. Hence why he's had 4 really good finishes in a row. Why not again at a course where sounds like that's going to fit the mold? So if he just has to get, and he's gained on approach in 3 straight, stay hot with the irons, and guy can 200-1. I mean, again, I think it's another, I'd rather take a top 20 on him. So let's throw that in there for the outro music prop show. But yeah, that wraps up all the outrights I'm looking at right there.
I just dug in like 101 after a nice finish last week. I don't know. I think that the ball striking, I think it's if they they must be really factoring in putting this week.
Yeah, well, so that guy can sniff a cup. Last week. He gave 4.5 strokes putting last week.
Yeah, the Sunday wasn't very exciting, just like Tom Hoagie. But got to do it for 4 straight days. All right, that'll do it for the outright plays. Well, on the PGA Tour, but we've got a few other tours across the pond and actually domestically as well. We've got the LIV event this week at Trump Bedminster in New Jersey. I'm certainly not going to break any of this down because who can break down an exhibition match in 54 holes? But if you could bet on it, my eyes are peeled. From everything I'm hearing, sounds like it's a bomber's track. Bryson, the only guy I think that actually cares about these events, 10-1. I think I might just sprinkle a few shekels on Bryson. I mean, he's clearly the best player on the LIV Tour, and he seems healthy, and he's coming off of a top 10 finish at the Open. I'm probably going to sprinkle on that. And then part of Smash Golf Club, I think that's what his team name is, which is Brooks Koepka's team with Chase. He just picked up a huge whale from the PGA Tour, making his LIV debut in Jason Kokrak at 22-1 odds. Those are some nice odds. The problem with Kokrak, he has been fucking awful over the last few months on the PGA Tour. I mean, it's been really bad, but now he's going into the dog shit field on the LIV event. 22-1. I think I'll sprinkle a little bit on that. So I'm kind of digging Bryson and Kokrak. It's just flyers to give me a reason to watch.
Yeah, I wrote Monday morning right when the odds came out. I was like refreshing. I locked in Bryson at 10-1. That's going to be my solo bullet. The guy came in the top 10 at the Open, traditionally where he doesn't even play well in top 10, and he lost strokes putting. So guy that's notoriously a pretty good putter, and now you're in a 54-man field where you can essentially eliminate half the field already. Yeah, I often don't go below 20-1, but for a tournament where I'm going to take a single bullet where I think it's just only 25 man can realistically win, and Bryson looks like he's actually back to old Bryson, I'll gladly take that.
Yeah, I still think the motivational factor is like something that kind of matters on the LIV Tour for God knows. Like I saw like Brooks Koepka at 18. Like I don't know when he's ever going to win a LIV event because he just doesn't give a fuck. I mean, DJ just goes out there. He's a robot. I could see him winning, but he's 5.5-1. I saw, so not doing that. But
look, in golf, I don't really try to handicap emotions because it's something you can't quantify or put any numbers on. You don't fucking know. Like, who knows what these?
In these exhibition matches, I just think it's different because they're already getting paid and you're not playing for golf ranking points. Like, if you're just not there on. They're playing on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If, like, their Friday is just like subpar, pretty bad. I just don't see them trying to hunt anybody down. Like, what reason do you have to even like try to bounce back? I don't know. Whatever. It's hard to handicap this stupid fucking tour. Anyways, I digress and I'll move to the European Tour. Maybe some could say I'm turning into a European sharp. Some could say I'm not. But I did have Sammy Wacky Valimaki last week at the Kazoo Classic. And he was sitting 3 shots back going into Sunday in the top 10 and proceeds to shoot a +2 round on Sunday and finishes T16. But hey, when you're only taking 1 or 2 guys a week with not the most knowledge and metrics that you can get statistically to make as educated decisions as you want, especially not knowing the courses and whatnot. Look, I'm doing it for fun, everybody. If you want to just join me, it's an extra tour to watch for fun. Then you can join me on my bets. You know, so far hit a winner 30-1 and had another guy with a chance on Sunday in my 2 weeks trying this. So let's keep it going for the Hero Open 2022. And I'm going to go this week with at 32-1 with Johnny Manziel's brother, Richard Manziel. I mean, we know Johnny is really good and loves to get after it. I know Richard loves to do the same. I mean, you got to think, if Johnny Manziel had a brother, what would his name be? Dick Manziel, obviously. So what's not to love about Richard Manziel? He has had an unbelievable 2022, only 2 missed cuts on the season. He has three top tens on the year. Let's make it a top one, Dick Manziel, 32-1. And then I'm going to go with a guy who we watched on Sunday when we were watching Valimaki, who had a runner-up finish last week at the Kazoo Classic, Paul Waring at 39-1. He's in phenomenal form, has two top tens in his last three events. Paul Waring, that's all I got. I like those two, specifically Dick Manziel.
No surprise you like Dick Manziel.
Well, it's just, you know, it's Johnny's brother. How am I supposed to not take him?
I'm sure that's all it's all about for you, little Brandon.
Okay. Big Jared, what's he ever done? He has AIDS! All right, let's get into some matchups. PGA Tour full tournament matchups. I have a three-pack, piggy three-pack for everybody this week. I'm going with Matthias Schwab over Big Bo Mantis Hostler at +110. We talked the last 2 weeks about how bad Bo Hostler's irons are. Well, guess what? He lost another three strokes on approach last week. Meanwhile, I'm getting Matthias Schwab at +110, plus money. Schwab actually rates out really well this week. I talked about him potentially as an outright. Wanted exposure elsewhere. I can get him at plus odds over Mantis Hostler. He's gained on approach in three straight. Had a bad finish last week. Made the cut, but he lost four strokes putting. Generally a really good putter. I love the bounce back spot. I wanted to take something at the top of the board. I know I mentioned I really wanted to take Cam Young outright. Couldn't do it because he's cursed, but that's just cursed on an outright. Doesn't mean he can't have a good finish. Give me Cam Young over Tony Finau +130. +130 is just a ridiculous number versus Tony Finau, who is going to have a winning hangover. You know, he's going to be shook. So lastly, give me Webb Simpson. I'm going to double down on my outright here and take him in a matchup over Cameron Tringale. Tringale has been on a downward spiral ever since his weekend implosion at the Scottish Open. He's lost strokes putting really badly in four straight events. If this turns into a putting fest, this guy is going to putt his way out of it. I'm getting Webb Simpson at a near pick'em versus Tringale on a course that I know Webb Simpson has already top 10 and at a Donald Ross design. Webb Simpson, that wraps up my piggy three pack this week.
Piggy three pack. Ooh, just makes me hungry thinking about that pig. Like it. I like it. I like it. All right. I got a typical six pack for you. That's what I do. And guess what? It's a special this week. And that special is all underdogs. That's what we're doing this week. It's my bread and butter. It's wherein I analyze so far how I've been doing. Tend to have the most success with the dogs. So let's stay there. They're going to be a barking. And we are going to barking with Cam Young +110 over Will Zalatoris. I'm fading a different player, unlike you. Everyone knows that listens to Golf Picks of the Plotniks. I don't like Will Zalatoris at two different types of tournaments. One, where you got to make a bunch of birdies, and two, where you aren't really going to have to use the strength of long irons, which I don't believe you're going to have to do this week. And just like at the Open, I'm fading him. That time was two unit play, which I'm not doing this time. It was a lot easier that time too, because I faded him with the guy that won the tournament. But I don't know. Maybe I don't think it's going to happen this time, but you never know. So on to the next one. We're going Adam Scott +105 over Keegan Bradley. I already talked about what I liked with Scott. And again, don't like Bradley at a tournament where you got to make a bunch of putts. So we're going there. We're going, look, I don't like Kisner's outright number, but Kisner +130 over Cam Davis. Cam Davis, a lot of pressure of backing up last year's win. He's played like 5 weeks in a row. And then you have Kisner, who's great course history here and makes a bunch of putts. I'll take that +130, please and thank you. Next, we're going, honestly, I'm kind of regretting not doing this because it's Davis Riley +115 over Mav McNealy. And I think Mav McNealy is going to make my card because it's the first time in his last 18 events that you haven't bet him. So, which inevitably means that he is going to win.
Yep.
So,
fact.
Yeah. So I honestly, guys, I don't know now if you want to tail this. I wish Brandon told me beforehand he was not going to take him. I thought it was an auto bet, but apparently not. So I'm not as confident there now, but it's still on the card. It's still on the card. And then next we're going Cam Champ +110 over Luke List. Of course, we got to make a bunch of putts and Luke List is a favorite. Okay. Yeah. Give me Cam Champ there, please. And last but not least, Chris Goddard up plus 115 over Joel Damon. It's the one matchup I don't have anything bad to say about the guy I'm fading, but it's more of a play on Goddard up at plus money here. So that's my six pack.
Well, the next six pack we need from you is on your stomach, and that will be coming soon, hopefully. So, all right. I am not taking first round leaders this week. I think that these very volatile birdie fests in the first rounds with a weak field, it's hard to handicap, and I don't want to waste my money. So you got anything? Especially without it.
I mean, if you ever think that first round leaders are easy to handicap, then please slide in my DMs.
Well, I mean, it's a little easier sometime when you got like AM, PM waves like that could benefit you. But from what I've heard, I'm not seeing any of that. But well, you almost hit Hoagie last week and taking.
I hope some of the listeners listen like more closely than you do when, even though you're on the pod, when I just consistently say that 75% of the time the first round leader comes from the early wave and it's played out all year long, but I digress. Here, yeah, if Tom Hoagie could have made a putt last week, we would have had one. I think I have like seven top five after the first round this year. I need access to first round top five bets each way, so that'd be nice, but I digress again. We're going James Hahn 100-1, first one off in the morning, no wind, goes out there, he's striking the shit out of the ball, makes some putts. Love James Hahn at 100-1 here. Honestly, I like Russell Henley. I think I've seen a 60-1 on him. If there's anyone that I want to bet,
He dominates Thursdays.
If there's anytime I want to bet Russell Henley, it's in the first round. It's not to close out a tournament, as we remember from Wyndham last year, foreshadowing to next week. So he should be rounding into form now very
Wyndham
soon.
Where I hit Kevin Kisner outright last year.
Yeah. Talk about the luckiest win ever. You have a Russell Henley choke and then
Adam Scott. Three footer.
So don't ever complain that you're getting unlucky, Brandon. You got to remember the ones that you do get lucky or that keeps you sane. That's how it works.
Well, didn't he end up going to a playoff?
That wasn't a playoff. That was the first playoff hole.
Well, there's a few of them. I think there was like three or four guys in it.
Well, either way, Scott had a putt for the win. And
on 18, yeah.
No, it was the first playoff hole. I mean, it may have been on 18. I'm just saying it was the first playoff hole where he missed that. And then where's my boy? Oh, yeah, Pendrith, 65-1. He goes off early. And then 100-1, a guy that I didn't mention before because it pissed me off last week when I took Lee Hodges at 200-1 last week. And he just casually went out there and had the best approach round of his career, gained exactly 9 strokes on approach, but lost 4 strokes putting. So you know what? Guy's hitting the shit out of the ball. I don't know if I'm going to take him out right this week. Let's just take him 100-1 when he goes off in the morning to be first round leader. And hopefully he finds the putter for one round.
Yeah. Well, if he can't do it for 4 straight days, hopefully he could just do it for one day. Okay. First round leaders. Let's finish it off with some piggy props here. I got 2 this week. I'm going to start off with a top 20 play, and I'm going to take Harris English, top 20 plus 375.
Wow.
Where has Harris English been? Everyone's wondering. Everyone's clamoring. Well, I mean, he came back basically at the beginning of this year after a long layoff and got hurt again. And then, he came back in June after a long layoff of about 5 or 6 months, and he's been dog shit. But I will say, if this does turn into a birdie fest, there's no one I want more to potentially give themselves a chance to just top 20 than Harris English. The last tournament that they played in the United States, because he did play the Open and the Genesis, which he didn't play very well. But if the last tournament they played in the United States was the Travelers, had a T19, gained 6.7 strokes putting. Before that, in a weighted round, Memorial, gained strokes putting, played at the Sony at the beginning of the year. Gained 6 strokes putting. The guy's just a freak putter. So even before that, like if I go back to like last year, which I mean, of course he was really, really good last year, but this guy is such an unbelievable putter. Honestly, over the course of last year in general, he gained over 2.5 strokes putting in 70% of his tournaments. The guy's a freak of nature putting, and all I just need is the top 20 here. He's got to figure those irons out. They're really bad, but at plus 375 to get a top 20. Worth a flyer here as someone that you might not think about. And then my other prop here, I'm going to go with a top nationality and give me Dylan Fratelli as the top South African plus 105 this week. We loved Dylan Fratelli last week. Somehow, some way, the guy that we were pretty confident about his driver lost three strokes gained off the tee. Guess what? That should not be an issue this week. Obviously, he hit the ball into the water a few times. It was very errant. I don't think it's going to matter whatsoever this week. All I need him to do is beat Garrick Higo and Davy Vandervelt. And I'm certainly not worried about Vandervelt. Garrick Higo has been complete and utter dog shit since he won that tournament last year. I think at the Palmetto, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, plus 105. He only has to beat two guys. And I loved Fratelli last week. I'm not going to shy away now. So give me him at plus money as the top South African.
All right. Well,
that's going to do it.
Whoa. You think you can get away with when you ask me for my props and I give a couple?
You haven't had one since I started doing this.
Wow. Someone gets too drunk during the podcast then, because I specifically already said on this podcast, reminding that last week I said,
click drunk at all.
Top 20. You just said I haven't had any. I had two in a row. And then whoever was the week before, I forgot it. What tournament was 2 weeks ago? It was the Open. I said to take someone that was – I said to take Will Zalatoris and miss the cut at plus 275. So
you're really red hot right now with the props.
Wasn't that, dude? It was, what was it? It was, I gave two in each of them. Either way, when you get two plus big plus money picks, you're profitable. So I'm giving you another one here, and this is another first round leader that I forgot. So glad we're adding it to the board. 100-1 goes off in the morning, and we're going back to old fashioned Sunflower Pleat, Pete Malnati, baby guy. It just had the best approach round of, I don't even, best ball striking round last week, probably of his career. 2.7 off the tee for someone that had lost in his previous nine. That sucks off the tee, and gained 5.7 on approach. Last time he gained 5.7 on approach was at the Shriners. He finished fifth, and the next week he went on to gain 4.7 and finished second overall. He's a guy that trends, and everyone, if you're a good golf fan, knows he gets red hot with the putter. That's the only reason he still even has a tour card. So if you take Pete Malnati, top 20, you're probably going to get like 6-7-1. Love that. Finished 11th last week. And I think this is a course that should fit his game even better, even if he gets a little more erratic off the tee. Nothing out of play. And just I love those approach numbers from last week. And he only gained 1.1 strokes putting, which is unlike him, and still finished 11th. So I think he has a lot of upside here. And I'll snag him first round leader in top 20.
Okay. That's going to do it for this edition of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, the Rocket Mortgage Classic 2022. Good luck, everybody.
The LTA.